Today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. And we are, as I mentioned earlier, just about to enter into the most blessed season of preparation, the season of Advent. And we all know what that leads to. That leads to one of the greatest celebrations of all, when Jesus Christ came into the world as a baby. As a baby, to set the world straight. It had been wobbling since the fall. And Jesus came to be able to sacrifice himself. Just 1 week from today, we'll be embarking on that beloved season. We get to light a candle each week, a different candle. We'll even explain to you later why one of them's pink. We're preparing and getting ready to remember and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we, in the meantime, have to be aware that we need to always be preparing for his coming again. Our gospel reading today jumps towards the end of the gospel with Jesus and the crucifixion. We read of Christ finally being recognized as king, but recognized in mockery. He's given a sign, a placard that was nailed at the top of the cross, declaring him as the King of Jews, but it was tongue in cheek. A royal cupbearer brings a drink to Jesus, but it's a foul, cheap wine, sour, not a drink that's fit for a king, but instead a drink that is given to the poor. And he's given a crown, but it's a crown of thorns. Even his robes were divided, casting lots in mockery and jest. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified, hung between two real criminals in the cruelest of ways. The Apostle Peter describes it, and so does Paul, nailed to a tree. And Jesus was taunted by one of the criminals who derided him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah, the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other one recognized that Jesus had done nothing wrong and then asked Jesus for something that only the king could give. Mercy. To be remembered when Jesus came into his kingdom. And these two criminals are a perfect example of the two ways in which people live. One denying Christ, making a mockery of everything that he is and that he's done, and the other is seeking him, acknowledging his kingship, his lordship, asking for his forgiveness, and wanting to spend all of eternity in his glorious presence. I don't know if you remember, but in last week's sermon, I asked a question and I gave you a choice. You could know peace in Jesus Christ or know no peace without him. Sin separates us from God, and we're all sinners. There's not one of us here that's present that has not committed a sin in their lives, and hopefully has gone before the Lord seeking true forgiveness and true repentance and faith. We cannot, if we are in what's called the state of sin, come into his holy presence. God's holy. And because of that, sin cannot come into his presence. I want you to hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. "See, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Rather, your iniquities, your sins, have been a barrier between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear." God doesn't want us to be apart from him. He wants us to be with him. And only God can save us. Only God can bridge the divide so that we can cross over to him and be in his grace and his presence, his mercy and his love. Sin has to be punished. If God let us alone, we'd have absolutely no hope. How many people here have seen the classic movie, National Treasure? Nicolas Cage and a cast of others are searching for the supposed greatest physical treasure known to mankind, the scrolls of Alexandria and all those things. And he's following clues from our colonial forefathers when he's captured and confronted by the FBI. The lead agent tells him, "Ben, somebody's got to go to jail." That line recurs several times during the film. The fact that the price had to be paid holds true in all of our lives. The price, the cost, the wages of sin has to be paid. And you know what St. Paul said to us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but that is great news. Since the price is death, the price for covering our sins, for reconciliation, a word that gets thrown around on Sundays when I walk up and down the aisle, propitiation. How many people know what propitiation means? Okay, that's why I feel uncomfortable saying that word all the time without saying the payment for the debt, the satisfaction. Well, now you know what propitiation means, so I can use it freely during those words from the Apostle John. The price has to be paid. And God promised a means for somebody else to pay our debt and to shed his own blood for us. All the way back in Genesis 22, one of my absolutely favorite accounts in all of the historical context of the Bible. Genesis 22, Abraham leads his only son, Isaac, up a mountain that would one day be called Mount Zion. Isaac was carrying the wood for his sacrifice right on his back, and he asked his father, "Father, fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb." God himself. All the way back in Genesis, you know, in the beginning, God promised that he himself would provide the lamb. He himself. In the person of his son, Jesus Christ. From John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Grace is not just something that we say before we eat. Grace is something that we receive. Anybody here like to receive a gift? Everybody likes to receive a gift, especially when there's no strings attached. That's grace. The free gift from God that we get and we don't deserve. That's grace. John's gospel continues with verse 18. "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." God himself provided the Lamb. And that's why we celebrate today. That's why we begin in preparation for the remembrance of his birth. That's why in just a few moments at the table, you'll hear that we recall his death, his resurrection, ascension, and his promise to come again. He is indeed Christ the King. Christ our King, who paid our price and died in our place once so that all may live. Everybody loves the baby in the manger. If you've ever been to Radio City Music Hall in New York City, after all the high leg kicks and all the Santa and everything else, the last 20 minutes of the program is the gospel. It's the nativity. And it's a living nativity. And they don't shy away from saying who is born. It's amazing. In the midst of New York City. Go figure. Everybody loves the Christmas songs. Everybody loves the presents, the star. We love to hear about the angels, the wise men, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But not everybody loves what all of that represents. Because that's only the beginning of the story. In order for salvation to come, there has to be a Good Friday. There has to be a scourging, a crown of thorns. There has to be three nails. And there has to be a cross. Some people have a difficult time with the Savior who convicts us as sinners, asking us to repent and be transformed by His love. Some people only hear what Jesus said before today's gospel, and that's all the way forward in Luke 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Thinking that Jesus was letting the world off the hook because of ignorance. No. Jesus was asking for forgiveness in order to give us the opportunity to make the choice ourselves. Which way to live? In sin, separated from Almighty God forever? Or forgiven, washed clean by His blood and the sacrifice that He made on the cross, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life? John 3:16. Jesus Christ asked for forgiveness so that you and I might live. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, reminds us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. You heard Sam read that earlier. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in closing, our lives should be about the Lamb that took our place on the cross. Our lives should be about preparing to join Him when He gloriously comes again. And our lives should be about the living message of forgiveness and love that can only be found in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Sharing that message in everything we think, do, and say. You know, I think it was attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, who said, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. As consistent Christians, we can tell others what Christ the King did so that we might live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.